Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and the director of the EOU Lab for Exercise Assessment and Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan Marshall. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
For Fit to Teach each week, we provide information on a health topic that provides insights into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, that healthy habits will accumulate, and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. Nathan, how's it going?
Good. Excited to be back.
Good.
Three in a row.
Let's go. Yeah. So we've been doing a lot of stuff around. So we covered supplements last week. I think we could probably do a part two at some point on supplements just to kind of separate them into, I think, like health supplements, performance supplements, temper expectations about what people can expect when they start taking supplements, but we can do that in a future episode. So If that sounds interesting to you, email us and let us know what you're thinking and what you want to know more about. Because when we get questions from you all, it gives us some really good ideas of things to talk about and helps us better understand the types of issues that you all are going through or want to know more about. But this week, we're going to talk about nutrition around exercise specifically. So this is something that a couple of people have brought up and then Nathan thought it'd be interesting. And so, kind of what are you looking for in this, Nathan?
Well, I'm curious for myself is like feeling during exercise, like sustained exercise. So like longer, like we always talked about nutrition, like 45 minutes to an hour. Longer than that is when you like start refueling.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to like talk about that because I'm amping up my training a little bit. And, you know, as summer comes around, I'm going to start doing that more. And then also like, you know, like I played last weekend.
Oh yeah.
Games. And so we had like a gap and like, for me, it was just like getting as many carbs in between the games as I could.
Okay.
And like, you know, when I do that, I feel so much better. And that's something that I never knew before I took like sports nutrition class. Like, I never knew the importance of like eating candy. I mean, for me, it's candy because that's like what I have access to, like fruit snacks, bananas, those kind of things in between games. So like kind of like timing carbohydrates, like around exercise and, you know, during exercise and stuff like gels and, you know, can candy be a substitute for that? Those kind of things, you know?
So I think there's a couple things here and there's a couple of reasonable places to start. I actually just had a meeting earlier this week with an athlete that typically works out twice a day and was really struggling with like meal timing and nutrition around that second workout. She was like, I don't know kind of like when to eat. I feel like I don't want to have dinner and then work out, but I want to have dinner after I work out, but I don't know what to eat. Like, and if I don't eat, I don't feel well before that workout and things like that. And I think maybe it's not necessarily like two workouts that you're trying to deal with, but it could be, well, you know, my mornings are already busy and then I get this little window to work out and how can I make sure that I feel good for that workout while still not like screwing up my meal timing too much or getting in the way of like dinner time with the family or those sorts of things. So I think that there's a couple things. The first thing to kind of consider is that depending on the intensity of the workout, that's what, and the type of workout, that's what kind of dictates the pre-workout meal. So the more aerobically intense the workout is going to be and the longer, the more important fueling up with carbohydrates prior is. And the reason for that is that when we eat carbohydrates, a certain portion of it gets stored in our liver and a certain portion of it gets stored in our muscles. And the portion that gets stored in our muscles is called muscle glycogen. And muscle glycogen is really important for sports performance. It's when you're doing high intensity aerobic work, you know, stored sugar inside your muscles is a critical fuel source to fuel that. If you don't have enough glycogen. If you don't have enough muscle glycogen stored up and you go for a run, basically you're just not going to perform as well as you could have, and it's also going to feel a lot harder. So what one of the things that's really interesting about carbohydrate intake and carbohydrate status around workouts is workouts feel harder when you don't have carbohydrates. Now, there's some evidence that you can get used to this to a certain extent. There's also some evidence to suggest that you can improve your ability to use fat as a fuel during very, very easy exercise, so walking, hiking, those sorts of things. But when you're if you're going to be like walking hills or doing like we've talked about workouts where you add some intensity, where you have your normal walking route, but then you find a hill on that route and you do like two or three power walks up that, then carbohydrates is going to kind of that's the thing that's going to really benefit and make you feel a lot better. And so there's two or so the first main consideration in regards to this would be timing in your pre-workout meal. Most people will try and get their pre-workout meal about a half an hour or 45 minutes before their workout starts. I actually don't think that's a great strategy because when you are at rest and you eat a lot of carbohydrates, so let's say you're just, we're just sitting here having a podcast, sitting here talking. Let's say you eat a big bowl of like white rice, it's got a lot of low fiber complex carbohydrates in it. Your blood sugar is going to spike because of the carbohydrates that are in that rice. And as long as you're at rest, insulin's also going to come up. Insulin is the hormone that helps control blood sugar, but it's also only released when we're at rest. So insulin in the system tells the system two main things. One, we have a lot of energy. That's all the blood sugar. Two, we are at rest. So we should try and store this. We should try and turn on recovery. We should turn on protein synthesis. We should turn on rest and digest. For most people with normal insulin sensitivity, a high carbohydrate meal will take about 90 minutes to clear. And what I say by clear is we use blood sugar as a indicator of that. So you eat your meal, blood sugar goes up, and then over time, about 90 minutes, that blood sugar comes down. Now, if a person doesn't have good insulin sensitivity, blood sugar stays higher for longer. There's some individual variability with this. So some people are really insulin sensitive and sensitive to digesting and processing that type of meal. So they clear it in, say, 70 minutes instead of 90 minutes. But 90 minutes is like a good starting place. And the reason why I say I don't like the 30 or 45 minutes beforehand is most people are choosing 30 to 45 minutes based on stomach feel. They go, well, that's about how long I need to where my stomach feels empty and I feel comfortable running. But at that point, kind of blood sugar's at its highest, insulin's at its highest, and your body's really in this like rest mode. And when it's in that rest mode, it can feel like very sluggish and very hard. And to get motivated to go exercise, and when you start exercising, you may not feel good. And the hypothesis around that is that your body was in rest and digest mode, and now it has to transition to exercise mode. And that can be kind of like it'll get there eventually, but it can feel kind of sluggish. I don't know if you've experienced this.
I mean, I'm sure at some point I have. I don't know. I'm not great about timing my nutrition just because, like, I've gotten a little better just because I've kind of figured out my schedule. Like, for me, what I do is I always eat like the biggest thing that I've been doing is eating a lot of yogurt bowls with like high carbs, so like honey, granola, and then fruit. And then I'll use like Oikos and then put protein powder in it. So like it fills me up for a long time. And then that's usually like 9. I'll go to class. Like today I had lab, so I worked out at like 12 and I ate that at like 9:30. And like I felt
Well,
good.
that's plenty of time.
Yeah. Like I felt
So
good.
you're not at that point when you start your workout, you're not kind of mixing that recovery signal with that workout signal.
No.
But a lot of times, like if people come home from work, let's say at 3:30 or 4, and they want to get a workout in before they have to start making dinner or before other things are going on, and they say, well, I'm going to eat first. One, you typically say, okay, well, I'm going to eat a carbohydrate meal. And it kind of, we in our house, we call it the floodgates. You open up the floodgates because you just start like eating and then you realize how hungry you are. And then you go, okay, well, I need to let my stomach settle. And sort of you, I would posit that most people are not going to be very motivated to exercise about 45 minutes after that because you've just had a long day. You've been on your feet, it's been stressful. You just ate what your body thinks is like a recovery meal, basically. And now you have to like get up in the middle of that recovery and try and motivate yourself to go. And so on the flip side, exercise is a basically, for lack of a better term, exercise is a better suppressor of insulin release than blood sugar is a stimulator of insulin release. So if you eat some sugar and start walking within like 5 or 6 minutes of eating that sugar, your like blood sugar will start to rise and that energy is available in your bloodstream, but the insulin hasn't had a chance to come up yet and give you that sort of rest and digest, tired and sluggish feeling. So a lot of times what I'll say is unless you have at least 90 minutes before you like from a meal, a more complex meal, before your exercise session, then sort of hold off and actually get a snack that's a high carbohydrate snack and start exercising within 5 minutes of finishing that.
Interesting.
And that way you don't turn on that recovery and you actually start putting all that energy that you just took in immediately to work instead of to storage. So this is a really good tip, especially for those of you that are like, man, I don't feel like working out. I just got home, I'm tired, I'm hungry. If you eat something and you said candy, like fruit snacks and things like that, but these there's like there's a that's on a continuum. It's not like all candy's bad, some candies or all candy's good. There's a lot of like candy options that don't have high fructose corn syrup in it. There's also some other things like Clif Blocks, which are basically like energy chew. They're like gummy worms, but for athletes, but or for exercise. So Clif Blocks work really well. You eat like three of those and then start your jog, or you start walking and you eat three of those. And then after you get those down, you can start jogging or pick up the pace a little bit. And it makes your brain happy because your brain knows it's getting the fuel that it needs. It makes your muscles happy because you're not mixing these kind of confusing signals about, I thought we were recovering. No, we're actually exercising. And it just gives you a better chance of succeeding in that example. The other thing is that if you start an exercise and you start running, and let's say you're going to go on a 30-minute jog, and you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll start to feel better once I start running. And that can happen sometimes because you just sort of maybe you just haven't been stimulated enough during the day or something. So you start running, and after 5 or 6 minutes, you're like, nope, I still feel terrible. Anytime that kind of happens, some simple sugar can really help. So, like a gel, a little sip of a sports drink, a some of those Clif Blocks. There's like a gas station fruit snack called Frutella that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. And they're made like, there's some stuff to give it the consistency of a fruit snack in it, but mostly it's just pureed fruit. So they actually use real fruit, puree it, and there's no like, there's probably a little bit of added sugar, but it's not high fructose corn syrup. And so there's like, and then like the classic example is a banana. But the problem is, a lot of people will eat their banana, which is like a massive sugar bomb, and you don't want to let that you don't want to let that banana, with a little bit of juice or something. You don't want to give that time to spike insulin and spike glucose. So you got to eat it basically while you're walking, or you should be kitted up already. You should be, you should have all your workout clothes on. You eat it and you pretty much go right away. And as long as you warm up a little bit, light exercise is enough to suppress that insulin response. So as long as you, what am I trying to say here? As long as you start slow, you're probably not going to have a lot of issues in terms of like your stomach sloshing around and things like that. Like a banana isn't going to give most people an upset stomach for like a power walk.
And so for things like one thing I think are curious about too, like I like the solid forms. Like I, for me, it's always like I just take a shot of honey.
Yeah,
Like
sure.
that's what I do, or like maple syrup.
Yep.
Because like for me, it's like it's cheap. I always have it. It's
Totally.
just super easy. It
Yeah.
doesn't hurt my stomach.
Yep.
So for like, but like I noticed when you were like training in here, you had like your drink you were sipping on, like your carbohydrate drink.
Yeah.
So like, I guess so. Like for people who want to do that, like drink something as you're going, or they're like going on a bike ride or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, what are some recommendations you have for like that
Yeah, I mean,
liquid
I think
forms?
it depends on like so you can get really in the weeds with this because like you can only absorb so many carbohydrates per hour while you're exercising. And there's a little bit of controversy about what that number actually is. We used to think it's 40, then we started thinking it was 60. Now we think it's 90 with a mix of sugars. So like sports drinks have gotten a little more sophisticated. So the more on the more like sort of if you're actually training for like a race or you're training for a 5K or you're going to like a practice or you're doing something where you like really want to crush it, then I think you want to go with like a reputable sports drink that's using the right types of sugars in the right amounts that are delivering it in the right load. And then you want to think about, okay, well, how many grams of sugar per serving is in this? And what's my goal for getting it every hour? And a lot of times that comes down to like, most people do pretty well with 20 grams of carbohydrates every 20 minutes. And some people like to sip on it more often. Some people just like to take a full serving at the 20 minutes. And that can help keep you hydrated. It can help keep your electrolytes replenished and it can give you a little bit of energy. Now, the thing I want to be like very, very clear on is that unless you have intensity and unless you have intensity, the carbohydrate drink is probably not super necessary. And when it's really hot out, you can decide if you want carbohydrates plus electrolytes or just electrolytes with a little bit of flavoring. But the really, I think for most people that are doing 45 minutes or an hour, if you had a higher sugar snack within 5 minutes of starting, and then you had some like fruit snacks or Clif bars or honey or maple syrup or even like I don't know, it's kind of weird to run with a banana, but something that you can take with you where you just check in about halfway between your run and ask yourself like, is this the way like I want to feel? And if because anytime it's really struggling, sugar will help. That's what we tell our athletes. Like anytime you start having that thought like, oh, why am I doing this? Oh, you think you've run 3 miles and you look down and you've run 1 mile. Like anytime that happens, it's usually a sign that you're like low on sugar.
That
Yeah,
makes
and it'll
sense.
make your brain feel a lot better. Like you, and many studies show this that even when they have people run at the same pace, if they give them sugar versus give them a placebo, at every time they ask them how hard is this on a scale of 1 to 10, they'll rate it lower, even though they complete the workout the same at the same pace. So just because you're doing like you're like, oh man, why does like I usually run this at 8:30 per mile, and today I'm at 9 minute miles, and it seems so hard. You probably missed on carbohydrates there. If other things are in, now if you've been on like a 24-hour bender, then like clearly you can point to that. But if other things are like pretty normal, and you're like, I just don't feel like myself today, you probably missed on carbs. Yeah, but we have to be really careful because sports drinks and simple sugars and a lot of times even like complex carbohydrates like lots of rice, lots of pasta, lots of bread, those things aren't appropriate for a lot of people that are trying to like lose weight, especially outside of exercise. So in that case, you want your meals to be mixed. You never just want a meal that's just all one thing. And then two, your priorities are like getting enough fat but not overeating in fat, getting the proper amount of protein, which we usually kind of there's a lot of studies that show getting more about anywhere from 1.5 to 2 times the RDA recommendation for protein is really beneficial for a lot of people. And then three, if you are having like a hard workout, it's better to try and quote unquote overeat on carbohydrates going into that instead of trying to like play catch up after that. So one of the things that we talk about a lot with our athletes, for example, is like if you're ending workouts like so famished that you just want to like get to your house and eat everything in sight, then you probably missed on being properly fueled for that workout, or a combination of being properly fueled for that workout and then not eating enough during that workout. Those are the two things where we go and look at, because you'll hear somebody and you'll say, well, I remember very clearly having this conversation with an athlete one time that was training for a running race, and they were doing a long run on they were doing a long run on a Sunday. And I was looking at kind of their daily week, their food log sort of thing that they were keeping just as a spot check. And I was like, well, I noticed you didn't eat much on Saturday. And they go, yeah, well, I didn't work out, so I didn't eat. And I was like, well, you had a long run Sunday morning. And they go, yeah. And I go, well, how'd that go? And they go, it was horrible. And I was like, and then it looks like you ate a lot like the rest of the day on Sunday and Monday, but you didn't have a hard workout later on Sunday, and you didn't have a hard workout on Monday. And they go, yeah, but I was so depleted and so hungry when I finished my long run on Sunday. You know, and we're kind of missing the window there, this important window there where like that person was really well fueled for a workout that had already been done because they were playing catch up. Yeah.
And so a couple of things just clarifying. So like I talked to my mom about this. Shout out mom again. But like
Friend of
so
the
she
pod.
well yeah, 'cause she did the whole like date thing with her walk.
Yes.
And she does the
Yes.
longer
She was
walk.
eating dates, which are high in sugar. And when she and she's in Seattle and it's super hilly.
And she feels better.
Yes.
But in terms of like pure weight loss,
Yeah.
you like if you're fasted cardio is good for weight loss.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends.
So I guess what I'm saying is like if you well, okay. If it is like it
Okay.
does, you get what I'm trying to say, and you don't eat before you work out,
Yeah.
you could kind of expect to not feel your best, right?
Yes.
But you're still, in terms of weight loss, it's still
Yeah,
decent.
so there's two things here. One is like what's the relative fuel utilization? So how much, what percentage of fat am I using? What percentage of carbs I'm using? And then there's the total amount of fuel that's using. So if you take a little bit of sugar right before you, so let's say you eat a, you know, a big tablespoon of honey, a big spoonful of honey. You're kitted up, you're ready to go, you eat a big spoonful of honey, and then you start your walk. That you do have the potential, because you're well fueled, to walk faster and burn more calories overall, even if the percentage of fat that you would burn is a little bit lower. So like if you go for a walk and you burn 400 calories and only 50% of it's fat, it's still 200 calories of fat. But if you like leave and you don't have any sugar and you can't push yourself, and you may like be like, oh, I just don't have it today, and you turn around, even if 80% of that was fat that you burned during that workout, if it was only 100 calories, that's only 80 calories of fat versus 200 calories of fat when you had some intensity.
So even for people who are trying to lose weight.
So you don't want to get stuck in this, like, well, I'm trying to lose weight, and I know if I go for a fasted walk, I'll preferentially burn fat. And that's what I want to do. I want to lose fat. So I'm going to do this every day. So what you want to do is say, like, no, once a week, I'm going to go for a walk. I know I'm not going to feel good. I know that I'm not going to be able to push myself very hard in terms of intensity. But I know if I go long enough, I can make a really big, like a big contribution to losing weight.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so it's one of those things where it's not like you're doing that every day. It's that you're using that as a specific stimulus. Just like, if you were like, if you talk to somebody and you said, what type of exercise do you do? And they say, well, I weightlift. And I say, oh, what's a workout like? And they say, well, I bench press every day, and that's all I do. It's not really a weightlifter. That's just someone bench pressing every day. And it's the same thing with these types of, we really, going back to one of our earlier podcasts, we really want to like vary the stimulus. So, once a week, go for a longer walk in a fasted state, and that's a unique stimulus. Another time a week, you're eating honey before you go, and then you're getting some carbohydrates during it, and but you're doing hill repeats. And then another day you're like, oh, I'm going to recover, so I won't do the pre-walk carbs, but I will make sure I get a really good lunch, 2 hours or 90 minutes before I go. So you want to be able to like kind of play around with this a little bit. Getting some exercise almost every day is really good for your insulin sensitivity. And that's really good for handling, being able to handle the carbs that you'll want to exercise the way you want to exercise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So a lot of people might hear this and just say, well, sugar's bad. Paleo diet's the way, all low carbohydrates. Well, if you really want to have like feel good during your workouts, you need sugar. But the thing is like sugar doesn't become such the demon if you're timing it correctly and you're getting regular exercise.
Okay. And then real quick, like, so after, I feel like we talked about before, during, and after. So like I know it's protein, carbs, both super important, even for cardio.
So that's during like really hard training. So that's more. So I would say protein is non-negotiable under any circumstances
For cardio too.
for cardio too, for weightlifting and for cardio. Now, the more intense and the longer the workout is, and the more you're trying to optimize sports performance, that's when the carbs become a little bit more important. For people that are exercising recreationally, I think essential amino acids are the key, and you can just get those with some whey protein. There are some essential amino acid mixes, but they're a lot more expensive than whey, and whey has all the essential amino acids that you need in it already. And so I think that rehydrating and getting protein is really important regardless of what you're doing in the post-exercise state. The other thing is that like one of the interesting things that is kind of counterintuitive is that exercise is a very powerful hunger suppressant. And people say, no way, when I'm exercising a lot, when I'm really active, or when I, hiked Hell's Canyon last year, I was so hungry afterwards, or when I go skiing all day up at Anthony, I'm so hungry. That is hunger as a result from exercise as you move away from exercise. Nobody wants to eat like a full plate of Thanksgiving dinner upon immediately finishing like an all-out 400 meter sprint. So I want to be really specific here that exercise can suppress hunger, but then the hunger comes later. But if you can get down some protein in the post-exercise state, it tends to control that like crazy hunger feeling later.
And drinks are pretty easy to do that.
Yeah, drinks are pretty easy, but I mean, that's pretty much the only time we would recommend people are drinking their calories. Like, even with smoothies and things like that. I know people think smoothies are really healthy, but really, smoothies and juice are a lot of sugar. They don't make you feel satisfied. So really, during exercise and immediately after exercise are kind of the only two acceptable times to be drinking calories.
Makes sense.
So I think that, if we were to just summarize, I think overall, based on a lot of the things that we've talked about this year. I think that getting lots of variability in your exercise throughout the week, and that includes the nutritional status that you're in when you go for your exercise. So having a lot of variability in your program is really important. Second thing that's really important is that you want to try and avoid timing your workout in that like 30 to 45 minute window after eating. We either want to eat 90 minutes before we're going to work out or within 5 minutes of our first step. The next thing is that you can exercise once a week fasted, or maybe even twice a week fasted, but plan to not feel great, to not have a lot of energy, and to not be able to go very intense. So you're going to have to go a little bit longer. But that's a unique stimulus, and that's part of the variability that we talked about in point one. The next thing is that if you are like, if you know you're going to do a lot of intensity, so you're going to run for an hour this weekend, or you're going to go on a really long hike, kind of attack that from a carbohydrate and nutritional standpoint leading into it. So that you're not put in a position to either, in endurance sports, we call it bonking, when someone like runs out of glycogen while they're exercising and they're not fueling properly. So you want to avoid bonking during this thing you've been looking forward to because you want to enjoy it. And you don't want to be like so depleted when you get done with it that you overeat going into a bunch of rest days.
It makes sense. Good
Okay.
summary.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I think that kind of wraps that up. If you guys have any questions, just shoot us an email, let us know. We are always looking for ways to engage with the teacher community here in LeGrand and beyond LeGrand. And so if you guys need anything, just let us know. Also, we have, I don't know, about 6 weeks left in the school year and 6 weeks left in your school year. And so it's kind of your chance to get in. For wellness explorations and fitness explorations, so that you can sort of have your baseline data heading into the summer. I think it's a really cool opportunity to come in and get baseline data, no matter what your fitness level is right now. Now, implement some things over the summer and then come in the fall and do follow-up testing. It'd be a really, it's a huge opportunity for a cool experiment.
Yeah, totally.
And so, if that sounds appealing to you, then just get in touch with Nathan and get in touch with the lab, and we'll take care of you. So, thanks for listening to Fit to Teach, where we provide insights into health and wellness for teachers and staff each week. And this will go up on Friday, and then we'll hopefully keep the streak going and come back next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, sounds good. See you, Nathan.
See you.
Bye.